As we begin our sermon this morning, I want you to take a few seconds and make a list of things that you claim to love. And to guide you in making your list, I want you to think about things such as sports, hobbies, food, vacation places, and things such as this. So I'll give you a few seconds to do that starting now. Now, with this list of things that you love in mind, I now want you to think about this question. Why is it that you love the things that you love? I'm guessing for many, the reason we love the things that we love is because these are things that bring us enjoyment. These are things that bring us peace, or these are things that in some way benefit us physically or mentally. And really, with that, we see that often the reason we love the things that we love is because these are things that we get something out of. Well, as we look at our verses this morning, Jesus calls us to live our lives out of love for others. But the love he calls us to live by is far greater than that kind of love. Now, leading up to our verses this morning, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. And Jesus knew that these were the last hours he was going to have with them before his suffering and death on the cross. And with these last moments he had with them, there were really a lot of things he wanted to teach his disciples. And as we jump into this conversation, Jesus had just given the disciples an illustration where he told them that in being connected to him, just as branches are connected to a vine, well, this would lead them to produce fruits of faith in their lives. And after telling his disciples that illustration, Jesus now tells his disciples that one of the ways they would produce fruits of faith would be by showing love to others. Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so also have I loved you. Remain in my love." Really, what a profound statement from Jesus here. This was the very night that he was going to be betrayed by Judas and abandoned by the rest of his disciples. And Jesus, knowing everything that was soon going to take place, assures these very disciples that the same perfect, intimate, all-consuming love that the Father had shown to him was the same perfect, intimate, all-consuming love that he had for them. A completely selfless love that was going to lead him to walk his path to the cross. The place where he was going to give up his very own life to win forgiveness for these very disciples. And he was going to go on to accomplish this work, not because it would benefit him in any way, but because this work was his joy. And this completely selfless love that Christ had for his disciples is something that he wanted them to always possess. So he told them how to remain in his love. "If you hold to my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have held on to my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy would continue to be in you and that your joy would be complete." I remember Jesus had just told his disciples the illustration of the vine and the branches, making the point that in being connected to him, they would freely receive his love as a gift through faith, a gift that would both strengthen them to fight against their sinful flesh, which can only rebel against God's commands and reject his love, and a gift that would also empower them to be who Christ had made them, his followers who obey his commands. And Jesus highlights the one command that he wanted his disciples to follow because this one command really encapsulates all of them. "Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." With this one command, Jesus was telling his disciples to not merely love others by being devoted to them or by being helpful to them, Because this is a love that even unbelievers can show to others. No, Jesus was calling them to love others with the same selfless love that he had for them. A love that they show to others, not because doing so would benefit them in any way, but rather a love that they were to go and to show to others by giving up or sacrificing anything to feed them with the gospel message so that they could remain in God's grace. It's this love, a love that was willing to sacrifice anything for the spiritual well-being of someone else, that Christ was calling them to live by. And while Jesus spoke this command to his disciples, this is a command that Jesus desires for all of his followers to obey today. But as we look at the amazing and great love that Christ showed to us, the love that led him to willingly walk his path to the cross, and as we examine our own lives, well, we all have to admit that our love doesn't even come close to the love of Christ. We could even set aside all of the times that we blatantly fail to obey this command, the times when we're hateful to others. And even if we set all of those times aside and only focused on the times that we do show love to others, even then, we still see that our love isn't the perfect love that Christ has shown to you and to me. And that's because our sinful natures, whether we realize it or not, leads us to have the wrong motivations and purposes when it comes to obeying this command from Christ. It's our sinful natures that maybe lead us to want to go and show love to others, hoping that we can benefit in some way from doing so. Maybe thinking that we can hold this act of love over them and have them owe us one at some point in the future. Or maybe it's our sinful natures that want to go and show an act of love to somebody else, thinking that this is going to get us on God's good side. So we go and show love to others, not out of the goodness of our hearts, but so that we can use this person in their time of need for our own personal gain. What wretched sinners we are, for failing time and time again to obey this one command that Christ has given us, to love others just as he has loved us. And for our failure to do so, we deserve God's wrath and punishment. But there is good news. The perfect, selfless, intimate, all-consuming love that Christ has shown to you and to me was so perfect that it has overcome your failures and my failures when it comes to obeying this command. And this perfect love that Christ has shown to all is especially shocking when we reflect on the fact that Christ showed this love to you and to me even while we were his enemies. This is something that Paul himself spoke about in his letter to the Romans when he said, God demonstrated his love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing lovable about us. We are sinners through and through who by nature hate and despise everything that has to do with God. So how great Christ's love truly is. For when we deserve nothing from him, he sent his very own son into this world to go to the cross, the place where he would give up his very own life so that he could redeem us from all of our sins and bring us into his family. And he did this not because it would benefit him in any way, but because it was his joy to carry out the work of your salvation. And as we see this, and as we see Christ calling his disciples to love others in the upper room, and as Christ calls us to love others today, we see that he only does so because he has first loved us in the greatest way. And as our verses now continue, what Jesus teaches his disciples and us that he calls us to go and obey this command, not merely as servants, but as his friends and co-workers. You are my friends if you continue to do the things I instruct you. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That servants are those who are called to obey their masters without question and often not knowing their master's plans or purposes. But this isn't the kind of obedience that Jesus desired from his disciples and from all of his followers. You see, Jesus had confided to his disciples the entire plan of salvation, which the Heavenly Father had revealed to him. That in living the perfect life, he would then go to the cross so that he could win forgiveness for the sins of the world. That he would rise 3 days later from the grave. That he would then ascend into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, where he would rule over all things. And that on the last day, he would return to this earth to take his own, to be with him in heaven. And having revealed this to his disciples, they were to be of the same mind of Christ and to love others just as he had loved them. This is what it meant to be his friends. And just in case the disciples would let this title get to their heads and fill them up with pride, Jesus now tells the disciples that they didn't receive this exalted position in of themselves. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will endure so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And these things I am instructing you so that you love one another. And Jesus is the one who in eternity chose the disciples and made them into what they now were, his friends. The disciples in no way contributed to this transformation. Christ is the one who planted faith in their hearts so they could receive the love that he would go on to show to them on the cross. And Christ is the one who would empower them to obey his command to love others. And just as Christ is the one who accomplished this transformation in the disciples, Christ is the one who has caused this transformation in you and me. That by God's grace and God's grace alone, he chose us in eternity to be one of his own. And in time, God made you one of his own by connecting you to the means of grace. That it's through the waters of your baptism, through your continued hearing of the gospel message, and for all the times that you come forward to receive your Savior's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. That it's through these very things, it's through word and sacrament that God has planted faith in your heart, and it's through the means of grace that God continues to strengthen this faith so that you also would be his follower and his friend. And when God in his infinite love called us to be one of his own, he didn't do so that we could abuse his love and live according to the desires of our sinful flesh and live for Satan. No, he did so that we could live our lives bearing fruit to give him glory in accordance with the position that each of us has been placed in this life. So go and be who Christ has made you, one of his friends who knows the amazing and great selfless love that Christ has shown you by giving up his life on the cross to win forgiveness of all of your sins. And as one who has received this love through your God-given faith, know that you now have the honor, the gift, and the blessing to go and show the same selfless love to others in your life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.